The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm with my co-host, Mr. Mo, to the underscore, Reese. What's going on, Mo?
See, while everyone else on this network gets to have time off, I'm back. Talk about wrestling with you wonderful listeners. My wonderful listeners who, you know, are filled with knowledge and, you know, comedy and laughs and things like that. We sit here and watch this thing called the Rawcast. We watch Monday Night Raw and we suffer through it. You know, we kind of just, you know, we suffer through it, and when we get to the end, we're like, why do we do this? Why do we torture ourselves every week?
We go through that, so Jay to the max won't have to go through that. What's going on, Jay?
Yeah, Jay just be like, it's 81 minutes in and I'm checking out. I'm like, I feel you, sis. I said, but I talk about it, so I have to sit here and watch.
Yep. So this is The Rawcast, brought to you by the CSPN. And you can find us on the web at cspn.us. We're also a part of the WrestleCast Network. You can subscribe to The Rawcast through the WrestleCast. All you have to do through your podcast player is search The WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Look for the new day holding the WrestleCast sign. Subscribe and you'll get The Rawcast into your podcast feed each and every week. So Mo to the underscore Reese, we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw first, and then we'll talk about the news of the week to wrap up the show. So we'll get with Monday Night Raw. Playing with fire is what we're going to call this, because yeah, the ending was something to behold. We get a small preview of tonight's events, and Tom Phillips says it's Monday, and you know what that means. So Drew McIntyre's music hits. He covers his 2020, starting with the Royal Rumble, losing and winning the WWE title, and etc. He wants to say thank you to us. He says we rally behind him and motivate him weekly. He says now to the future, the Legends Raw that's coming up next week. He's going to defend his title against either Keith Lee or Sheamus. At the mere mention of his name, Sheamus comes out with the mic. Drew knows what's up. He says last week he came to Sheamus to not pull any BS. Sheamus says he waited till after the bell rang. Sheamus says he will kick Keith Lee's head off his shoulders. Then it will be Drew versus Sheamus kicking off 2021 the right way. Well, out comes Keith Lee. Keith Lee says Drew vouched for Sheamus. He wouldn't do anything. Lee could trust him. There's zero trust now. Drew's word is just as good as Sheamus's. Lee tells Drew he should consider his best friends, because later Sheamus could do the same thing and stab Drew in the back. Drew wants to start the match between Keith Lee and Sheamus right now and calls for the ref, then reminds them that no matter who wins tonight, Drew will still be the champ at the end of next week's show. So we have Sheamus versus Keith Lee. Sheamus bro kicks Keith Lee, then kicks him again for good measure to jumpstart the match. Sheamus tries another bro kick. Keith Lee escapes and hits the ropes, followed by a crossbody from Keith Lee. He gets pinned for a two count. But then Sheamus fights back and he hits the white noise and gets his own two count. Sheamus smacks the face of Keith Lee. Keith Lee grabs the wrist. He gains control. Sheamus counters with some headbutts. Keith Lee hits a big headbutt of his own. Keith Lee then follows with a grizzly magnum to the chest, followed by the spirit bomb. Keith Lee covers Sheamus for the 1, 2, 3, and Keith Lee is going to face Drew McIntyre next week for the WWE title.
Looks like Keith Lee kind of struggling with that pin there, but, you know, it's a pretty solid match. Sheamus can, you know, give an opponent a good match.
Keith Lee looked like he had kind of the same thing that was plaguing him at the end of his Karrion Kross match. I mean, he's just a big guy, and he doesn't wrestle a lot of long matches. So
right.
It looks like as he gets you know, more and more fatigued, he loses a little bit of his technique. You know, things don't look as crisp and as good. So hopefully if that is the case and he starts wrestling these longer matches, he doesn't try to do anything too high risk.
Cardio.
Yeah, because he might end up hurting himself. But yeah, this was actually a really banger of a match. Two hard hitting dudes going at it, and yeah, they got a lot of time.
Yep.
The Miz versus Grand Metalik. Miz tries for a back suplex, but Metalik escapes. Metalik hits the corner and connects with a running bulldog. He runs the ropes and then hits a missile dropkick. Metalik hits the ropes again. He rolls up the Miz. He hops over his head and then gets him into like another roll up, and he pins the Miz. 1, 2, 3. So Grand Metalik has now defeated the Miz, sending the Miz into a further spiral after losing his Money in the Bank briefcase.
So someone compared this to 45 losing the election. Miz trying to get the briefcase back. The hashtag was like, somebody was like, yeah, he, this is like 45 wanting to overturn the election. And I said it makes sense, but, you know, Miz, we've seen what happened with that going forward. But Miz, Grand Metalik beating Miz was just kind of a shock. I was like, hold up. I said, the guy who be running around chasing R-Truth for the 24/7 title picked up a win? That's a shocker.
Elias is backstage on his guitar. AJ knocks on his door. He's mad. He's saying, Omos is trying to listen to Bogart or whoever. And he's on the phone trying to right a wrong. He says, Elias is not Johnny Cash. He's instead Johnny Trash. Jackson Ryker stands up for Elias. Elias says, AJ is just upset because he couldn't get the job done beating Drew McIntyre. And at this stage of his career, he doesn't have a lot of chances left to win the WWE title. AJ challenges Elias to a match where he promises to break his fingers.
This is funny. Tall Bruce Leroy just standing there, just, you know, over, just standing there, and Jackson Ryker just looking like he wants to step to him. He's just keep backing down. Like, not this tall black dude. Mm-mm.
Jackson Ryker know what's up. He don't want none.
He don't want no problems.
Just like the song says. Dana Brooke versus Shayna Baszler. Dana rolls Shayna into the ring. Fireman's carry roll up for a two count. Spinning neck breaker for Shayna gets another two count. Dana dives off the corner and she does a roll through. Shayna then hits a knee strike, locks on the Karafuta clutch, and Dana Brooke has to tap out.
I told y'all, when she slaps that submission on them, they don't stay in there for long trying to fight. They just instantly just tap.
Dana Brooke checks on her tag team partner. Shayna runs back into the ring to lock on the Karafuta clutch on Mandy. Mandy taps out as well, and then Shayna stands tall over both of the Sexy Muscle Friends.
Oh God, I hate that name. I know it's gonna be in a t-shirt soon, but I hate that name.
You don't like
it. I hate it.
What don't you like about it?
Just how you just said Sexy Muscle. It's just how it just came about. And I'm like, no.
I mean,
go back to the drawing board.
They both are muscular.
That's true, but they're both come up with
pretty different. Sexy, and they're both friends. So I mean,
okay, so y'all can like it. I'm not gonna like it. I'm not gonna jump on that.
You're not with the marketing and the branding on that one.
Nope. Nope. Right. They can creative to come up with something else.
All right. Well, I still want to know who came up with it, because that's actually, because I was looking for a team name for them, and that definitely works.
And see, there you go. And that's the team name that y'all in the hashtag seem to know like.
We return with Alexa Bliss. She's on her play sets, her swing set. She makes a heated pun with regards to The Fiend. She says maybe he'll come out next week to meet his hero, Hulk Hogan. The Fiend must want an audience, and so Alexa welcomes Randy Orton. Orton's music hits for a quick note, then stops. Alexa calls him out again, and Randy Orton does not show up. Alexa doesn't think Orton wants to play with her anymore. The Firefly Funhouse graphic shows up, and we head to the Funhouse. It's Randy Orton. He appreciates the invite, but took advantage of the empty house and came to see what kind of cool things they had going on. He sees Huskus the pig and boots him off the table. He says, Huskus was heavier than he thought. Orton holds Mercy and slaps Abigail with him. Let's say the Fiend does come back. If he does, he'll have nothing left except for Alexa, says Orton. So if he does decide to come back, he'll show us just how sick he is by making sure that the Fiend has nothing left to come back to. Orton grabs Rambling Rabbit. He says before he deals with him, he notices the artwork on the wall. Orton rips the head off a Rambling Rabbit, and Alexa then challenges Orton to meet her in the ring later tonight. And Randy Orton accepts.
They didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve that. Especially Ramblin' Rabbit. He gets put through a lot.
Randy Orton came through and crushed the buildings.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he kicked Huskus.
Just like Snoop Dogg did the Empire State Building.
Yeah, I know the video. I remember the video. I've seen that video plenty of times.
There may be others of us who, you know, there may be.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We have a younger audience. Yes, who wants to privy. Listen, they wasn't privy to the Rap City days.
this is a larger bubble than just me and you having a conversation here, sir.
Right. They're like, wait a minute, what? Just go to YouTube, look up Dog Pound, New York, New York, and you will see the references. If you heard Jay-Z said, New York's been soft ever since Duke came through and crushed the buildings, that's what he's referring to.
Yes, the actual moment where I was like, oh, you know what? They really don't like each other.
Right. Like the this East Coast, West Coast thing is a real thing. Like, we're just a ploy to sell records. I'm like, eh, you don't make a video in somebody else's city kicking over their buildings. No. You know,
yeah, with the Godzilla motif, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that was rough, but yeah, the good old days of Rap City, man. R.I.P. The old
right.
We head back to June 22nd, 2020. That seems so far long ago. Nia Jax injures Charlotte, leaving her at home and needing surgery for the last 6 months. Charlotte says she is ready. She says Nia is to be feared. She is a great competitor. But if there is someone Charlotte says she wants to get... She says if there is someone that she's willing to use to beat and get to the top and bet on, it's herself. So Charlotte basically, you know, reiterating she wants Asuka's belt, but not saying
exactly. We know the rules.
Yeah, man, she's a flair. She can't be trusted.
Right. Look how far that is.
Right. Shaolin Shogun, he's getting used to his queen being back. He wasn't as vocal about her on the show this week. But, you know, she did wrestle Nia Jax, so I think he was afraid that she may be injured again. So I think he was saying his prayers that she would get through the match unharmed. AJ Styles versus Elias. Who's the babyface in this one? Pele kick to Elias. AJ runs to the ropes. Elias counters with the TKO. Cover for a two count. Elias covers and gets his own two count. Elias lifts and hooks the head. Elias hooks the leg of AJ, but AJ escapes. He kicks the leg. AJ gives a kick to the head, then another high kick to the head. AJ goes to the apron, springboards in. Phenomenal forearm. He covers Elias. 1, 2, 3. And AJ Styles is victorious over Elias. You know what this may have been? This may have been one of those, hey, you know what? We need to do something with Elias, okay? Well, we need to figure out, nobody knows really, can he wrestle? Because, you know, when does he ever wrestle for a long time?
Gimmick things, you know, so.
Right, so we need to see if he can really go, or we need to, you know, figure out what his limitations are as far as really going. So let's put him in the ring with the best guy we got on this program, and that's AJ Styles as far as in-ring wrestling goes, and let AJ tell us kind of what his barometer is. I think that's what this was.
Yep. And that's what the show it came out to be.
Because, I mean, why else would AJ Styles wrestle Elias? I mean, that makes no sense.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. And we're just sitting there just watching. I was waiting for, you know, a hokey finish, but it didn't happen. I was like, okay.
We head to last week's Raw Talk and a little piece of the parting promo from last week. Real Ricochet's talking about being a stepping stone for people. He says cannot allow it. Something's got to change. He's tired of looking up at the lights. did you listen to the Rawcast, the Wrestlecast episode last week yet? The Christmas Day edition?
Yes, I listened to the one that I had to work on, of course.
Oh, sorry. You know, sir, the holiday fell on the weekend, so you were still obligated to, complete your duties here on the CSPN. So, sorry, you weren't as fortunate.
Everybody else need to get to chill and relax, and I'm just like, hey, y'all get to hear Mo every 2 weeks flying solo.
Hey, man, you know, you got to have some consistency, Mo. You're the consistent one here.
And Jade's not? Simi's not? Come on now. Anwar and Terry's boy not? Well, y'all already, they wrapped up New Japan stuff, so yeah, we already know what's going on with that. Yeah.
But see, that's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, just bad luck on the weekend. Now, see, next year, you'll be the one that'll have the days off, and then they'll be the ones that'll have to work, so.
We'll see.
Speaking of Terry's boy and Anwar Starwin, January 4th and 5th, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the Wrestle Kingdom 15 show. Use the hashtag #CancerStrongStyle to share your commentary with color on the biggest event of the year for New Japan Pro Wrestling. We get a match that's going to start between Ricochet and Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa, sir.
Mustafa Ali, excuse me. Thank you. Before the match, Mustafa Ali cuts a promo telling Ricochet to stop thinking with his heart, join Retribution. That leads us to our match.
One, two. How do you overcome?
Oh no,
slapjack, T-bar, and mace.
And the wolves are circling.
Ricochet's trying to figure out who do I attack first?
And Ricochet's gonna start firing off it.
Oh!
He can't! Oh my god!
Did you see that?
T-bar off of the apron! Slapjack caught in midair!
Two down!
Whoa!
Insurmountable odds for Ricochet!
Maybe Ricochet can't do this!
Back inside the ring, focusing on Ali now!
Oh!
The post goes Ali!
You see it fly!
Oh, and now Mace took a swipe at him!
You gotta be kidding.
What a DDT to Mace on the floor.
Ricochet is pretty much taking out Retribution here.
In total.
Ricochet can do this. Ricochet might do it.
Mitchell up to seven.
Eight. Count of eight. Now tosses Ali back inside. Beats the 10 count. The match continues.
Just barely.
Ricochet's got Ali all to himself.
Ali's going to the top turnbuckle.
You gotta go, Ricochet. You gotta go.
The pain.
His last stand against Retribution. Oh, the shooting star blocked.
I know. Goes
Koji Clutch.
The Koji Clutch lights out from Ali.
Ricochet trying to hold on.
Ricochet with a gargantuan effort. But ultimately, Ali walks away your winner.
Here's your winner, Mustafa Ali.
Ricochet, yet another defeat. When are you going to learn that you have no chance? But I will give you a chance. I will give you a chance to erase all your regrets. A chance for a new outlook. A chance for a new beginning. Ricochet, join Retribution. What is your decision?
Ali, I've made a decision. I will not join.
Ricochet.
Oh, you better.
Defiant to the end. Ricochet refusing to join Retribution.
Despite the insurmountable odds.
You are strong enough to hold on to your...
So, he was a concern of mine. So, I don't know if you probably remember this. When the Wyatts... Bray was in the program with Daniel Bryan, and it was the Raw. I think it was the Raw. Oh man, it was a Raw. It was going to be going towards the New Year, and so Daniel Bryan was wrestling Bray Wyatt, and I believe he lost the match. And the next thing you know, Daniel Bryan was like, You were right. You've always been right. And then next thing you know, he's walking off with Bray, Harper and Rowan. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, we have a new Wyatt family member. Mm-hmm. And so it was just I thought this was a play on that, but it was a play on that because then Ricochet said he wasn't going to join him, and then he hit him with the whatever that move was. I was like, don't tell me they're going to. And the next thing you know, he's like, he hits him with the move, and I said, oh, never mind then.
Does anybody really care about this angle? Does anybody really root for Ricochet at this point?
This is terrible.
You're doing a lot of stammering, sir.
I'm just saying, from what we see, no.
Yeah, it just doesn't have anything going for him. Anything? There's nothing cool about him. There's nothing, fiery babyface standing up for, himself, or fighting for his, beliefs or whatever. You got none of that. You just got a dude that's really cool in the ring, can do some off the wall things, but he has no connection with the people.
None, and just like, we're just sitting here watching him, and it's like, this Lucha Underground would seem like it was so long ago.
I know, right? Nia Jax has some words for our friend Charlie. She has some New Year's resolutions. Shayna is there to count them for her. She says, one, she's going to destroy Charlotte, then get the tag team. Two, she's going to get the tag team's titles back. And then three, she's going to enter the Royal Rumble match and win and go to WrestleMania and face the champion. She tells Charlie, Happy New Year. Shayna comes back into the frame and says, hey, she kind of likes that idea. Drew cuts a backstage promo with Charlie about Keith Lee stepping up and being ready. He says they're going to beat the hell out of each other, and he's happy for Keith Lee. That leads us to Nia Jax versus Charlotte. Nia with a surprise powerbomb, cover for a 2 count. The screen goes black, the screen comes back, and Charlotte has a takedown on Nia. Nia kicks Charlotte, Charlotte stops herself. Shayna distracts, but Asuka tries to help. Shayna sends Asuka into the announce table. Charlotte kicks Shayna off the apron. We get a pin to Nia for a 2 count. Charlotte then applies a figure four to Nia. That's when Shayna rolls into the ring, locks in the clutch on Charlotte, and that is a disqualification.
Yep.
Your thoughts? You, your thoughts on Charlotte Flair singles match?
I guess it was cool. I mean, it didn't move the needle for me at all. I mean, it might move the needle for Sean, but it didn't move the needle for me. So I was just like, okay. Charlotte's here. She's going to be built up. Asuka's once again being the secondary, a supporting player in this storyline. So, you know, doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they've downgraded Asuka so much. I guess this is just, maybe this is the longer story of Charlotte pulling the double cross. So she has to kind of.
Well, we know what's coming. We know what's coming. So we'll be, when it happens, we'll be like, we knew it was coming. We saw that booking.
Right, right. Backstage, the Hurt Business. They punk some random stagehand backstage before continuing their walk through the halls. Charlie runs into Angel Garza backstage and asks about his year. Garza says he may introduce himself to one of the legends next week. Charlie wonders who his current rose is for. He says he won't tell, and then comes R-Truth to interfere with the proceedings. Truth makes Garza drop his rose. The goons who are chasing him follow, and Garza then looks down at his broken rose. He hands it over to Charlie. It's all wilted and broken, as we all think Charlie deserves better.
Okay. I wanted to get to this part because it's kind of odd that she was asking about the rose, and he's trying to tell me a gentleman never tells, and the next thing you know, R-Truth for them comes running and stumbles over the rose, and he just gives it to her and just says it's the thought that counts. And she kind of looked like she was kind of mad because, you know, she liked him. And, you know, all of a sudden he's giving roses to other women now. She don't like that. She's kind of like, I used to get them roses. You know, roses were my thing. Now you're giving all these other chicks roses. I just about to start some shit.
Yeah, Angel Garza better watch out, man. You know what I'm saying? It's hard out here being a Lothario.
Right.
You know, you gotta.
He will end up with a rabbit being boiled in his pot or something like that. Hey, not favorite track. That never mind. That's a whole totally different movie. Sorry for that movie reference, listeners.
And, you know, he out here on national TV trying to be Mac of the Year, so you know, so it's a little bit different than most people's situations.
But so another thing about Charlie, it was crazy because early in the day, I was watching her on First Take on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, hey, she's on Monday Night Raw doing backstage segments.
Yeah, man. She's going to be another one who's going to be slowly making her way into a different line of work other than WWE.
Hey, look at Renee. Renee can't do nothing for a year, though, but that's just, you know.
No, that's messed up. That's petty.
Yeah, that was the whole. It was the whole. She was considered she wasn't a talent. She was an employee. So they're like, we're gonna fix you. You wanna give you a notice? And she's like, I'm gonna grant you a release. But here's the terms of release. Mm-hmm. Better not show up on TNT for like the next 265 days. So she's doing her little podcast and she's, you know, just chilling. But Charlie. She definitely wanted to. She definitely wanted to know who was getting that rose from Angel. And if you notice that he was behind the Matt Garza poster. Look at that play right there.
Jeff Hardy, he congratulates the New Day for Big E winning the Intercontinental title. Xavier Woods says, once they get the tag team titles back from the Hurt Business, they're going to take some photos for Instagram. Riddle says they have a huge task ahead of them. They need a sweet new nickname. He says they're Bros and Stallions, so they want to call themselves the Little Bronies. Positively Hard Bros. Kofi and Kingston aren't too sure about that one. They say they got to go. New Day's music hits. Riddle tells Jeff Baked on Pancakes is another name that he has. So Matt Riddle doing Matt Riddle things with these names.
He definitely was baked on something.
New Day, Jeff Hardy, and Matt Riddle take on the Hurt Business. Jeff gets on the top rope. He flies onto MVP on the outside. Wood spins, and he hits a discus clothesline one time. So we get the Swanton Bomb, cover four, two count. Bobby Lashley, comes in to stop the count. He sends Xavier Woods into the corner and rushes in for a shoulder block, but of course Xavier Woods moves. MVP knocks Woods down. Kofi flies off the top, but he gets hit with the pump kick. Sheldon then with a knee strike to Matt Riddle. We get a twist of fate to Shelton Benjamin. Lashley is the legal man. He goes for a spear. Jeff kicks him away, but Lashley is able to apply the full Nelson, a.k.a. the Hurt Lock, and Jeff Hardy has to tap.
Roll up Sonny, who being the hashtag with us, calls him Robert Eyelashes. I was dying.
Hurt Business, after the match, tries to attack. Riddle hits Lashley with the final flash. Then all the faces leave the ring as the Hurt Business stare at them from inside the ring as they're going up the ramp. Backstage, Miz and Morrison are all kinds of sad. He yells that he was Mr. Money in the Bank. Adam Pearce comes up, calling them as miserable as the Cleveland Browns. Miz asks if he's here to throw it in his face. Pearce says yes, he'd love to do that, but the rules are the rules, so the Miz is still Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, man, he said Miz was the Cleveland Browns. I know he was like, oh, damn. Adam Pearce probably getting all types of jokes, like, you know, backstage, like, off to the Jets, bruh.
We return to Alexa Bliss making her entrance. Randy Orton is next. She says, this is not about the Fiend. This is about her. She leaves the ring and grabs a small box that is gift wrapped. She slides it into the ring. Alexa opens the gift. She pulls out a gas can and some ashes. She heads over to Orton, who's standing in the corner. She puts the gas can and matches down, then kicks the box, and Alexa challenges Orton to do to her what he did to him. She grabs the gas can and pours a trail from the center of the ring to Randy Orton. She stands in the center of the gas trail and dares Randy Orton to light her up. She wants him to light the match to do what he did to the Fiend. So she lays down even. Still, Randy Orton is not falling for the bait. Okay, so right now, at this point in time, this has been going on for about 4 minutes in actual time. What are you thinking as this is progressing?
I want to say it's going to probably be revealed that she's the one pulling the strings behind everything, but she's really just been, I think she's really has a, she's really going to say she has a big part in this. She's like the one who's doing the leading.
Right. So she makes a circle around her with the gas now. She tells Orton he doesn't have the guts. He says he is sick, evil, demented, but he's not. He says if he was, he'd light the match. But no, she says if he was, he'd light the match. That Randy's nothing. He's nothing but a little bitch. Alexa grabs the gas can and then pours the gas all over her head. She is totally drenched. Orton asks her if she thinks he won't do it. Orton knows he enjoys watching people in pain. She thinks the Fiend was burned and went to hell. The lights go out. Orton lights a match. It's bright enough to show Orton's face. He drops the match as commentary begs him not to do it. And the lights go out completely. And that is the end of your Monday Night Raw. That's all I got, sir. I don't have any witty.
It was like all of a sudden, then it just cut off. And I said, "Y'all really doing this to get us to come back in the new year?" And I'm just like, and it was just kind of weird, you know, because everybody did he set her on fire. I'm like, you feel a Raw talk afterwards, so don't be obtuse.
Yeah, man. I don't know. They definitely could have done something different than this Alexa Bliss set me on fire situation. I definitely thought that I liked where they were going with Alexa Bliss earlier in the story, but it seems like that has taken a turn with this.
It went from her and Nikki Cross, and Nikki was like concerned that she was, you know, what was going on, and now it just took a whole different turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
every time you turn around, she's sitting there with swinging on the thing, come play. I was like, you got going on, man. But this is going deeper into Jupiter Julep's territory when it comes to like this story right here.
I just, you know, Monday Night Raw has so many things that are just okay. It's not, you know, they're missing a star. Like, SmackDown has Roman. He's clearly the star, right? So he is the main attraction every week. You're tuning in to see what Roman is doing, and then everything trickles down from Roman, right? Whereas Monday Night Raw, they don't really have a star. I mean, I guess in theory it would be Drew McIntyre, but, I mean, he still seems to me kind of building his way up. He hasn't reached that standout, oh, I'm going to tune in every week to watch Drew McIntyre status. He ain't got that yet. And so they're still trying to build him up, and they're, you know, trying to move upwards with Drew, whichever steps that he's taking as far as, you know, being a champion and connecting with the crowd. So I just think that's kind of where WWE is right now. It's like they got a guy who is a champion, but he doesn't quite command that star status yet.
Drew's doing good at what he's doing, but at the same time, it's just not. It's like he's somebody who needs the fans to get behind him and everything. Yeah, man. So, you know, Roman is definitely on another level when it comes to what he's doing. It's because he's a heel and he's finally getting to tap into what makes him great in his wrestling business.
Definitely, for sure, man. When it comes to what SmackDown is doing, they are definitely the head of the class when it comes to main roster programming. Give a big shout out to the new Intercontinental Champion, Big E, over on SmackDown. He defeated Sami Zayn on Christmas night. So hopefully everybody enjoyed that. That was an extra Christmas gift.
They got some good, their best ratings since their debut with the lead in from football.
Right.
I said, this is how you lead in. You lead in from your sporting event with you know, your top star. Not shitting on Chris Jericho because he is a top star, but it was just, you know, I say NFL fans are more forgiving than NBA fans. So
this is true. Yeah. And they went for the violence right off. So they went for the steel cage match between Kevin Owens and Roman right off the show. Like you said, coming off of the NFL game with Kamara scoring 6 touchdowns. AEW, I think they went with Jericho because Jericho probably is the most recognizable person they got to somebody who may have not watched wrestling in the last 5 to 7 years. You know what I'm saying?
Like if they didn't turn from TNT on Monday nights from in 2001, they just seeing Jericho like, oh, I remember this guy. Right.
So, you know, they don't have anybody else that they could have put in that, you know, in that opening role that may have caught people's attention. It caught people's attention, but, you know, held people watching the show. And I think that's what they were thinking, because everybody else is a young to up and coming, you know, wrestler that nobody in that NBA demographic would necessarily know.
Exactly.
And then it got Chris Jericho roasted on Twitter for 2 days.
He got roasted.
And all he was doing was doing his job, wrestling his match.
Yep.
Trying to make the boys over at Top Flight look as good as they can.
It was just like, he's like, oh. They're like, Chris Jericho is like 50 some years old. And I'm like, oh God, they going in.
Well, we've come to.
Hold on. Not yet. Got some stuff to talk about.
We've come to the Mo Meltzer news part of the program. There's really only one lead story, you know, in the wrestling world right now as far as news goes. And Mo, I'll turn it over to you to inform everybody, and then we'll, you know, have a long form discussion afterwards.
Well, I mean, with some other stuff going on too, I wasn't going to jump into that. Like, so he pulled Pat McAfee off of NXT.
Oh, what's going on with that?
So basically, they were saying that a lot of people were thinking that it was because they thought he was just they thought he had heat or something like that, and they say he doesn't. He's primarily a part-time performer, and they don't want to like kind of rely on him to be on the show every week. But I wouldn't say you had to necessarily have him in a wrestling role. He would just be he could just be in a manager role. He could be backstage. He could be doing something like remote. You know, it don't have to be necessarily on like in the ring wrestling. He could be just doing other things, you know? And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, he was an added natural heel to the show about what's going on and everything, you know, kind of just making that show stand out.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be missed from NXT. In the managerial role that he was in on NXT, I think that was best suited for him, where he could get physical at times and mm-hmm. maybe even have a thing where it kind of leads up to a match, but he would always be like the final boss. And that way he wouldn't necessarily be overexposed as far as an in-ring performer, because, you know, he'd mostly be getting his cheap shots in, and maybe, you know, there'd be once or twice where he has to, you know, take a legitimate beating. And then, you know, that might lead to a match at a takeover, maybe. But I just think that's going to be a big mistake, because he's such a natural on the microphone. He definitely was a big help to Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch as far as a mouthpiece and helping get them over as tag team champions. So I think that they're making a mistake here with moving away from Pat McAfee so fast.
Yeah. So I really think, you know, I mean, they could just, I guess they don't want to overuse him. They kind of like what he's doing. So I'm guessing Triple H probably just say, this is keep you off of TV for a bit, and you come back, you know, probably going towards WrestleMania or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
So it looked like they're planning another gimmick match between Bray and Randy.
I
think it's been at Royal Rumble.
So another, what was the match where he set the cap?
That was an Inferno match.
You know the one I'm talking about, where he set the cabin on fire in the woods, where he had
the
compound match or whatever.
Yeah, the compound. Yeah, it was a compound.
Yeah, it's gonna be another one of those, I guess.
Probably, but they're just doing something different. They're bringing another gimmick match for them. So we'll be hearing about that. So I guess this is what we'll be talking about going forward. And also they have added, they added a title match for tomorrow. A lot of things they were having NXT filming, but I think something happened. I guess they kind of like add new matches or something like that. I'm not too sure. Oh yeah, so it's a North American title match, Johnny Gargano versus Leon Ruff, yeah. And they got Undisputed Era and Undisputed Roderick Strong versus Pete Dunne, which is a rematch from the Dusty Classic a couple years ago when Roddy turned on Pete and joined the UE. Yeah, that's long term booking right there. Okay. All right, so now we can talk about the news that has kind of took us all by surprise over the weekend. So it was reported on Saturday that John Huber, AKA formerly known as Luke Harper in the WWE, and was currently known as Brody Lee in AEW, passed away from an unrelated lung issue. It was an unrelated COVID issue. He had something going on with his lungs. He said he'd been hospitalized for, I think, late October, and things took a turn for the worse. I don't know if it took a turn for the worse, but it's kind of like, I know working in the hospital, kind of see what happens, like patients getting lung transplants and it doesn't necessarily, like things just like doesn't turn out right. And then next thing you know, patient end up, you know, succumbing to the side effects of what happened with the lungs and everything. So, and the thing about, you know, we read about the tributes. It was crazy because I was just chilling, you know, and then I was like getting a text from my friend saying like, yo, and then it was like showing that he passed away, and I was like, get out of here. Went to Twitter, saw the AEW post, saw like Cody, Young Bucks, everybody from AEW's, you know, talking about it. The next thing you know, the WWE stars tributes start pouring in, and then it was just like, oh man, it was just like an incredible wrestler. Now, what I wanted to say was, you in the wrestling business, you hear about people, you know, this person had a bad attitude, this person did this, this person did that. Everyone that spoke about John Huber had nothing bad to say about him. And I mean, not even, oh, he at times he was good. They was like, no, he was a great person from the time they met him till, you know, him, you know, even like leaving the WWE, you know, going to AEW, you know, folks were just like, just had nothing but great things to say about him. And it was like, I remember reading the old report and everything, and they were just saying like a lot of wrestlers like to wrestle with him because he was a great worker. Like, I know Mustafa Ali talks about how, I think at WrestleMania they was doing a spot, how he saved him from a serious neck injury. Like he said, he caught him and he like get that back suplex on the floor or something like that. I guess if he would have, like the way he would have landed, he could have really injured himself, but Huber caught him and just kind of reverse course there and everything. And so it's just, it was just like, it was sad, but just seeing the story, especially for Big E. Big E basically, you know, eulogized him great on the timeline. And, you know, Bray had some wonderful words. Eric Rowan had things, nice things to say. And it was just basically like, we just seen this, the stories that we heard about him and how he really just made an impact on the business, you know, fans, wrestlers, his fellow wrestlers and everything. I mean, you seen the indie circuit and everything, you know, it was just great. And then seeing the match that he had with Cesaro back in Chikara, I was like, man, I said, this was great. It was a great cage match. And I was just like, wow. I was like, I said, who knew? I said, you know, and you hear about he was a big star on the indies and everything. And then he signed with WWE, then the FCW. Then he started off and they showed his first match in the playlist on NXT. He wrestled Jason Jordan. This is when Jason Jordan had the curly hair, had the curly throat and everything. And so they was like, he was watching the match and he was like, we don't know who this guy is. Like he was like, Jason Jordan supposed to wrestle in Aiden English, but we have Bray Wyatt out here with this big huge guy. And then Bray Wyatt introduced him as Luke Harper. So he was like the first Wyatt son or something like that, you know. And I know they said him and Eric Rowan won the tag. They were NXT tag team champions down there in the developmental, through the developmental days. It was just, you know, I remember I was at the book when they made the main roster debut. I was at the that Monday Night Raw in Baltimore when they attacked with him and Rowan attacked Kane. I was there, and then I was there when Daniel Bryan had his first appearance with the Wyatts. And I remember it was something else that happened, and he tweeted out. He said it always happens in Baltimore. He said it always happens in Baltimore. I think it's like certain things happen with the Wyatts. It just happened to be in Baltimore and everything. So, and the one match, my favorite match from him was when he came back against Dominik Dijakovic and Worlds Collide. And so this was the match that he asked for his release because he knew he could do more. And creative in WWE wasn't really trying to they wasn't really doing enough with him. So that's why he wanted to leave, because the match that he had with him at Worlds Collide, he was over. And it's like, we watched the match, he kissed his son and his wife before going to the ring, and the crowds was chanting his name throughout the whole match. And they had a superb match. And I was just like, man, we might be on the brink of something here, but they didn't do anything with him. So, you know, he wanted his release, and so they made him, they did that whole freeze contract, tack on more time, and he got his release in December. And then, you know, the whole 90-day clause, then he pops up on AEW. The whole thing with AEW, he was supposed to debut in Rochester, his hometown, but COVID hit, and now he's down in Dallas place, and that's where he made his debut. You know, and it was just like, watching, if you watch Being the Elite on YouTube, you can tell he was missing, he was sorely missed from being on that, on those episodes, because like he went out at the Dog Collar match, and they say he was injured, but I thought it was like an ankle injury, but it was the lung issues was going on, and then his wife announced that he passed on Instagram, and that just kind of sucked the wind out of everyone. And a lot of people were upset with how WWE handled his that tribute to him. You know, they just put his picture up at the beginning of the show, and then, you know, Tom Phillips said, you know, it's Mondays, you know what time it is, or you know what to do. I just forgot just that fast.
I think so. You know, what I'd like to say, though, before we, you know, continue that on, is just that it stinks that, like you said, you get to watch him in his earlier days and some of those older matches, and you get to see his true, like, talent as a big man, as a wrestler, and it's so suppressed in the Wyatt family and the Bludgeon Brothers in that WWE run. And it's so unfortunate that he was just starting to get the footing with the Dark Order and, you know, that faction and the Brody Lee character, and kind of, you know, asserting himself and getting back to a little bit more of his indie wrestling style a little bit more. And then, you know, this unfortunate incident comes down upon him. But like you were saying, just with the tributes from everyone, just the outpouring of emotion and everybody having the same message as far as just how good of a dude he was, how much time he seemed to have for everyone. Like you said, apparently him and Big E were like really close. Big E had, you know, a lot of pictures and just intimate pictures of them, you know, outside of the wrestling arenas, you know, interacting, watching games and hanging out. And I think
Wale Mania, you know, he was definitely, you know, he was just that guy. He was like, he was fun to be, around. They showed the infamous picture from him it's two infamous pictures. The one picture from Saudi Arabia where Angelo Dawkins, he's standing there, and Angelo Dawkins is looking in the background like, it's some bullshit. Mm-hmm. The one picture that really stands out was the picture that they took in Mexico. It was Huber, Jericho, Roman, Cesaro, one of the clones. Bray was back there too, and he had the shirts with the yeah on it. Mm-hmm. And so Chris Jericho said that he was upset that John was basically saying he was kind of upset that he didn't have any merch. So someone had made some shirts made for him, and they all took after the show in Mexico, they took pictures and posed his signature pose, the muscle pose in the backstage and everything. And so they got heat for it because I guess it wasn't an official t-shirt. I was ready to buy that shirt because I was like, yo, I want that shirt. The shirt looked real dope. I was ready to buy it, but it wasn't an official shirt. It was just something they did for him because he wanted merch, and they just wanted so he was appreciated because nobody had nothing bad to say about him. They was just like, he was a great human being. He was a great family man. He said that a lot of wrestlers say, you know, they learned how to be a better, like, husband or father because, you know, they took the cues from him and everything. And, you know, he left WWE with the AW, and it was just like, you know, it was just like he came into the whole himself with the dark order being an exalted one. And I was like, okay, this is definitely, you know, some good content here.
Yeah. And then he really set them forward into actually being a respected faction and really propelled them into being more than just you know, some vignettes. He actually, you know,
the movie was watching them, and it was like, you know, they kept saying, Exalted One is coming. It was just like, you know, who's the Exalted One? And so it was revealed to be him. I was like, oh man. And then he just got them over, and he was just working with them in the back and everything on BC and everything. And how he was just basically, he bullied, like, in a comedic way. He was bullying Silver and Reynolds. That was like, the dynamic those three had. He had great dynamic with all of them, but he had great dynamic with him, Silver, and Reynolds, or him and Evil Uno. They had some, it was some great content they had and everything. It was just, it was, the funny thing with that was when I think Stu was on the show, and so he told the doorman Silver, and she just dropped him on the floor, and then she picked up the doorman again. He was, you better fall for Sue. He's like, yeah, fall for Sue. I think he made himself for Sue. It was just great. He's always just yelling like, fuck.
Yeah.
And just leave out the room. It was just great at what he did. And it was like I said, his work as a big man performer, a big man in the wrestling business, you know, they could have let him run a world title if they really wanted him to, but he just didn't, you know. And this is a class of a guy that's just gone. And you know, we have options on the WWE Network. Especially Harper and Eric Rowan against the Usos of Big Round 2014. I watched that match, man. And I found how good that match was. That kicked off the show, and they tore the house down. Like JBL said, somebody called the sheriff or the deputies because these boys just stole the show.
Yeah, man. Very, like you said, just very shocking news. Just the whole circumstances just around his situation, with him losing to Cody, and then him being in a very violent match, and then them having him be off TV, and then it's like, okay, yeah, we get that. And then all of a sudden, it's just kind of like, two, three, it's like been a month. It's like, you know what? Where's Brody Lee at? And then, you know, people right. speculating, and there are people like, oh, yeah, I think he's injured. He may have like a knee or something like that.
It was just something that he was just taking care of. And then all of a sudden, it was a lung unrelated issue to COVID. He said, and it was just like, wow, like.
Yeah, so it's just the, at the right when he was starting to find himself professionally after being in the wrestling business for like 15 years.
Right.
You know, he finally have started to get to a point where he was, you know, being able to use more of his own voice and kind of dictate kind of what he wanted to do as far as his character goes. So, yeah, it just sucks that he gets snuffed out at this point in time in his career, when he was, you know, it looked like he was headed towards his biggest and best prosperity, as far as the wrestling biz goes. There's going to be a tribute card to.
Dynamite
tomorrow night. I think it's going to be Orange Cassidy, Cody, and one of the members of the Dark Order, and yeah, it's like a whole bunch of mixed up.
Basically, his son's favorite wrestlers all teaming up for to that night and everything.
Yeah.
So it was basically, and also he was granted the trademark for his for the Brody Lee name.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, he was he had filed for it, I think, right when he was in WWE. So I think he already knew his time was up. So he filed the Brody Lee trademark, and they granted ownership to him like right before he passed. So. Yeah, so it's just definitely just heartbroken. It is heartbroken heartbreaking that we as wrestling fans, you know, see somebody, you know, it's like always about wrestlers dying very young. And here's another one. He was 41, and we had memories and just the matches to see, and it's like wrestlers. It's like you see the brotherhood that is professional wrestling. You know, they're on the road together. They're doing a lot of spend most of the time with them. So yes, they can become close, and they have these, you know, these memories, those pictures, things like that. They share with us and everything. And it's just like see how close they were. You know, see who the true friends were and everything. And they might be heels and things, but they like enjoy working together. So they bounce off those ideas, and they, you know, kind of just make things work for each other. So, you know, we'll sorely miss him. You know, because, you know, he would always say it's, you know what that means, you know. And that was always his thing. He would always say that every day. He would tweet out, like, you know what that means every day. And it was just the outpouring of this love and compassion from just his fellow wrestlers is just what like shows, like, you know, no one had a bad word to say about him. And it was basically like, you know, it was just like, hey, like, this is a great guy that the rest of the world has lost. And it was great to see that it wasn't, you know, it was basically, you know, when WWE had posted on Instagram about him passing, and AEW commented on the AEW Instagram account, had commented and everything, and AEW been retweeting the WWE stars and the WWE accounts for that thing. So it's kind of showing, like, you know, this is bigger than wrestling. You know, this is bigger than two companies feuding with each other. This is basically everyone who's on it. We've lost a great human being, and it's just like there's no time to be feuded and everything. So tomorrow's show is definitely going to be an emotional one. They moved that the New Year's Evil New Year's Smash, what it was. Yeah, so they moved that. So basically, they're going to run it neck and neck with NXT. With those two back to back shows. But right now, tomorrow's gonna be that tribute show. It's definitely gonna be very, very emotional. You know, it's definitely gonna be some onions being cut watching those matches.
Yeah, definitely. Just definitely keeping his family in prayer and
yes,
friends and everything. Just such a young family, young kids, is always tough when, you know, you hear about their parents passing away, kids under 10 years old. It's just a awful situation. Just hopefully, you know, they can remain strong, get the support that they need from, you know, the various people that they're going to need to lean on to get through this. And, it's going to be a while before people really get over this one. I think it's kind of the first active wrestler, you know, like big time active wrestler from one of the major companies that's passed away while he was still active.
Right.
So I think that's kind of one of the things that's also making this a little bit different than we've seen in the past. Somebody who has, you know, was very recently in WWE and then now has, you know, becoming a bigger part of the upstart organization too. So I think that's kind of, you know, a circumstance of it as well that makes this unlike anything that we've seen in a very long time when it comes to someone passing away. Still competing.
But then Brian Myers was like saying, you know, people like he didn't get 10 belt salute. I'm like, he wasn't with the WWE no more, so I understand why he didn't do it. AEW probably gave it to him about salute, so you know that might be more appropriate. But he wasn't with the company no more, and he was like, "Well, he was a good guy," and I'm like, I said, you know, it was like you've seen, you know, Tom Phillips, Alexa, they was, you know, saying his phrases in the Drew McIntyre, they were saying his phrases in the ring.
Ricochet did the discus.
When Xavier did that, he popped, you know, and did that. And he had the armband that said Brody on his armband.
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of like you said, everybody, you know, is always looking for WWE since they're the biggest and, you know, the leader to, you know, when these situations kind of set the standard for how people are remembered or what you get. You know, people are, you know, some people are upset that all he got was just a little placard at the beginning of the show. They're like, oh, you should have got a video tribute. So, you know, people are never going to be 100% happy in a situation like that. But like you said, with him being active on the AEW roster, I would suspect there'd be a really big tribute for AEW with the video, like you said, the 10 bell salute, and things of that nature. Usually the 10 bell salute is a universal thing that only happens when people have retired. That's right. When you'll get that, like, you know, it doesn't matter what company it is, if they recognize the person passing away, most of the time they will ring the bell 10 times. But yeah, you know, this was a different situation with him being active for, you know, which is still, unfortunately, you know, through the, you know, prism that we're talking about, this a rival company. So
people getting up saying, you know, oh, he should have gotten more than that. It was like, I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but it's like at the same time, like I said, he was active. He was with a rival company, so it was like they probably just like this. They memorialized him on the Twitter accounts. They did a list of his best matches, his best moments. So it was like they've done more than enough.
Yeah, you know.
Like,
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that, you know, you can't satisfy everybody in a situation like this, because, you know, no matter what you do, there's somebody out there on the sideline screaming that you could have done more, you should have done more. But just again, the acknowledgement from WWE, like you said, the amount of social media space that they dedicated to him as well. So definitely a big loss, and definitely dominating the sphere of the wrestling world right now. The loss of Mr. Brody Lee. So Mr. Moten _ man, you want to wrap it up? Unless you get your shout outs and thank yous in.
Shout out to you, Don, for making me work on Monday on this Tuesday evening. We're having to bring you on another episode of the Rawcast. Hopefully, you know, 2021, we can see this thing on, you know, and we just, you know, hope we get some better story, some new storylines, you know, some new characters. I think they're trying to say that this might be Rhea Ripley's swan song with this last woman's standing match on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. They might be her swan song and everything, so we'll see about that. But we just 2021 it's been a crazy year for 2020, you know, with the world, and we thank you all for rocking with us. Thank you, Don, for bringing me on. You know, we, you know, every week we just and talking and, you know, just having, I mean, I enjoy recording, you know, having a good time, and we just laugh at just little spots and everything, and we just make, you know, sometimes Raw is a tough chore to get through. We kind of make the best of it with the hashtag, and then we just talk about it and everything. I don't know, it seemed like yesterday Raw was kind of quick. It wasn't like, it was like, I was looking at the time, I said, it was 10 o'clock, I said, oh. Normally, I'm like, I'm thinking like, when's the show over? And this show was like kind of moving kind of quick, but.
Because it had a lot more wrestling and less talking on it.
That's what happens. When you have more wrestling, less talking, you won't be sitting there like, God damn, what the hell are they doing?
Right. Happy New Year.
I just want to say shout out to you. Shout out to everybody in the network, Simi, Terry's boy, Amwar Starwin, Jay to the Max. Shout out to our OGs, Sam, Greg, Miss the lovely, the irreplaceable Miss D. Jonay, Mel, because she always gets shout outs and she's moving to New Orleans. So shout out to her. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to everyone who's in the hashtags with us. Words Clean, Roll Up Sunny, Kyler. I can't get that dude name right, but Kyler Ren. I'm going to say the one with the gifts and memes and stuff. He loves him from Sasha Banks. Jubilee Julep, Cammy D, Madam Lizette. Miss V, Anita, you know, everybody who's been there with us, you know, come through and watch the shows with us. We appreciate you all from the bottom of our hearts and for us recording. We thank you for another 2020 and just kick it off in 2021.
Thank you, Mr. Mo, to the underscore Reese once again for joining me for another episode of the broadcast. Just like to wish everybody a happy new year on the upcoming 2021. Just thank you to everybody here on the network, all the podcasters, including Mo to the underscore Reese, who have taken their time this year to provide the content for the broadcast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast, WrestleCast, Cast a Strong Style as well. I definitely appreciate each and every one of those people who have hosted and guest hosted and helped me broadcast any show, any amount of content this year. Definitely thank you, each and every one of you.
Oh yeah, hold on. Shout out to The Push. Shout out to my fuck of The Push. I keep slipping. I'm on that show as well too. Shout out to The Push.
Hardest working man on the network besides me, and you be forgetting about The Push.
You forget about the show that morning, you know. But shout out to them guys over there. Sean, Dwayne, Benny. I've got a name too. Mike.
Dwayne, Libra Icon. So yeah.
I said Dwayne, but there's another guy. I gotta learn be better with names and stuff. Cause normally I'm good with names, but it's just like, what the hell's going on? But just shout out to my fellas over at The Push. Hopefully you'll be recording soon. Haven't heard anything about any recorded things yet, but hopefully we can get something together. I know we probably go into the Brody Lee career as well.
Right. Yeah, so big shout out to The Push. Check them out on CSPN.us or look them up through your podcast player as well. Big shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Miss J to the Max, Miss Simi, Anwar Starwin, Terry's Boy, Sam and Greg and Classic and Mel and everybody who joins us in the hashtag all this year. For the Rawcast hashtag, SmackDown Matters, Dynamite Cast, all the pay-per-view hashtags as well. We definitely have appreciated each and every person who's interacted with us this year. So continue to spread the love of the WrestleCast to all your friends. Let them know that we are out here providing a space for you to share your pro wrestling commentary with color within the hashtags on Twitter, being a guest on the program as well. So thank you to everybody who listens. Please continue to share the episodes. Continue to support the Patreon page over at patreon.com/CSPN Media. If you're ever curious why we never talk about AEW, that's where you can find it. It's over on the Patreon page, as well as candid conversations from Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, myself, and Anwar Starwin, Miss Simi. So there's a lot of content over on the Patreon page to be had if you want more of our pro wrestling commentary with color. Here's to everyone having a happy and healthy new year. Hopefully 2021 will bring us a sense of normalcy and back to togetherness, so everybody won't be so distant in the very near future. So that's definitely something we can look forward to. But until then, I am your co-host, Don DeLaRente, with Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Y'all, 2021. Productions.
WWE Championship against Keith Lee. So, do you have anything to say to Keith after his comments from earlier tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited all around, to be honest. I mean, next week we've got Legends Night. So many superstars that paved the way for each and every one of us will be there. And I plan to give them a title match. They'll never forget. We can be proud. Keith stepped up. That's what I'm most excited about. Everyone's been waiting for Keith Lee to finally step up, including me. And he might not like what happened over the past couple of weeks, but that look in his eye he had tonight, I saw it. I saw that spark that he needs to reach the top of WWE. He's ready. Next week, title match. We're going to go to battle. We're going to beat the hell out of each other. Buddy, happy for you. This is it. Your chance to prove to the world what you can truly do, because I know better than anybody. On your best day, when you're motivated, you can beat any superstar in WWE. Except Drew McIntyre.